Yeah. Man, enjoyed those.
Amen.
I love the talent that God put in his people, especially when they use it. Amen. Keep trying to convince Sister Laura to sing, and she's just not quite there yet. But I heard her singing this morning, and she's got a good voice.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Romans 6, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to you now to this portion of the service, Lord, we realize it is the most important part. And we've sung to you, Lord. We just try to enter into your presence now. And so we're asking, Lord, that you just take this portion of the service and you break the bread of life to your people. Lord, to your children. We ask, God, that you'd speak to us. Speak to every heart, those present, those that are streaming, those that will be listening later on. We know that you're able, Lord. You know each one. And so we just pray that you just bless their hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to title this today, The Power of Choice. The Power of Choice. Amen. You know, Wednesday night I was talking about, we read there in Isaiah chapter 53 where the scripture said that he was wounded for our transgression. I was talking about all the different things, you know, if we are to believe God, and why would we not believe? And well, you know, God's never failed. He's always done everything perfect, never will fail. And so, you know, you have to come to the place to say, well, it's not God. If God's not doing something in my life that he promised, it's not him, it must be me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we look at ourselves, and so much of the time we condemn ourselves. And I wanted to encourage the people just to always remember that there's nothing that you've done that's not covered underneath the atonement. Right. Everything that you could ever possibly do is covered under the atonement. Can you imagine God having a plan of redemption and he left a weak link in the chain? No, he didn't do that, right? God didn't have a plan, a program that just almost did it, but there's one little loophole that Satan could get through. No, it's not that at all, but Satan wants you to think that.
Right.
And so we just always want to remember that in the atonement, by his stripes, we are healed, right? Mm-hmm. It said he was wounded for our transgressions. We know we've all made mistakes. We know we've all fallen short of those things. There's no question about that. But let's not talk about what that is. Let's talk about what he did. Okay. And what he did, the scripture said he was wounded for our transgressions, right?
Yeah.
So if he was wounded for our transgressions, then were our transgressions dealt with? And if God dealt with them, because he was wounded for them, if God dealt with them, then we don't pack them,
yeah.
Right? They're not an issue. When we come before God, our transgressions are not an issue before God,
right?
Because he was wounded for our transgression. That's
right.
Just flat out how it is. The scripture said he was bruised for our iniquity. And Brother Branham comes along and tells us that iniquity is something you know to do and you don't do it, or something you know you should do, shouldn't do, and you do it anyway, or something like that. When you know better, right? You know better. That's iniquities. And, of course, the scripture talk about that. Blessed is the man that God does not impute iniquity.
Yeah.
But the scripture said he was bruised for our iniquities. So if he was bruised for our iniquities, when we come before God, when we need a miracle in our lives, we need God to do something, and we come to him, why pack our iniquities there?
Right.
Why pack the guilt of iniquities before God when the scripture said he was bruised for our iniquities?
Yeah.
Right.
See, at some point we have to get to the place where we understand he bore it all.
Amen.
So we don't have to carry it. So no matter what the devil or anybody else says, slap it back on him, right? Because Jesus bore those things for us.
Yeah.
The scripture said the chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Right.
Right? He was chastised so that you could have peace in your life. Right? God will work in your life in such a way that you can be going through the worst storm and you can have peace in the midst of that storm.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And when God's with you and you have peace in your life, it don't matter what the storm is, right? And so the scripture said he was chastised for our peace, right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Right.
So, if he took that and he was chastised for that, then that belongs to us.
Amen.
We can have peace in our life. Right? And the scripture said, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen?
Amen.
So, why do we want to come to God packing these things when he took care of all of it? And as I said Wednesday night, he did all those things that we could have access to those things. But he did all those things so that we can believe when it comes our time.
Yeah.
to go to God and need something. And so, but because he did these things, we're going to Romans chapter 8, because he bore all those things, then Paul says, there is now. Not just future, right? Now is present tense, always.
Right.
There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. I mean, wants to be able to live your life without condemnation. You know, it's don't feel good to feel condemned, right? And you don't have to have someone else condemning you. The Satan will do it, but you condemn yourself. And so the whole thing about being able to come to God with a clear conscience, to come there, you know, knowing that he bore all those things, to be able to come to God with peace and with confidence and have no condemnation, right? Okay. Because Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. If you look at the book of Romans, the book of Romans tells the whole plan of God. It starts out with chapter 1 talking about how the heathens, those that are, they turn their back on God, and so now they, you know. And then chapter 2 talks about even those who live righteously, if you offend in one thing, then you're guilty of all of it. And he comes over and shows that Gentiles are lost and Jews are lost also, right? He comes through there. And so then he starts talking about Abraham being justified, right? So Jews and Gentiles are all lost, but God's program is that you can be justified by faith. And so the chapters are unfolding that way.
Right.
Abraham's justified by faith, and then it says, goes into sanctification. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? But then it comes all the way over to chapter 8, where it's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, having the Spirit of Christ in us. And then after that, he goes on and he talks about how he's going to turn back to the Jews. Right? That's the next thing he talks about. And it ends up by saying, seeing all this is the way it is, what manner of people shall we be that we would live like? And so here, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But if you notice, there was another description there, another descriptor in that. It wasn't just those that are in Christ Jesus, but those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's more than just being in Christ, but it has to do with the way you walk, that you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not walking after the fall and the things of the fall and the world and the things that come from the fall, chasing after that. Not walking like that, but walking after the Spirit, the things that saved us and all the things that go with the plan of redemption, to walk after those things. And so we talked Wednesday night about laws of God. There's laws of nature. If you throw something up, it's going to come down, right? The law says, if this, then this, right? And so if you throw something up, it's probably going to come down and hit you on the head, right? Because gravity. And there's laws of nature. If you build a fire and stick your hand in it, it's going to burn, right? And so when you meet the consequence, whatever the law requires, don't be astonished whenever the result comes back, because you provoked the law. You have initiated the law, and you get back what you put in. When you excite the criteria of that law, then that's the wages you get. And so there is, speaking of the laws of God the other night, there is something we read here, the law of sin and death, right? We know death comes from sin.
Yeah.
And sin is not smoking, drinking, all that. Sin is unbelief, right? The prophet told us the attributes of sin is smoking, drinking, and those things. But the problem is that people have unbelief in their hearts. And so there is a law of sin and death. And so if sin is committed, that's the initiator of the law, then the payback of that is that death comes because of it, right? There is the law of sin and death. But Paul is speaking here, and he says also that there is another law. And it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right? There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know, in our country, and I suppose probably all over the place, you know, there are courts, a court system, a judicial system. There are lower courts, and there are courts that are higher. And so maybe a lower court has a jurisdiction and maybe rule on something, and they can appeal to a higher court. And a higher court can reverse the effect of the lower court. And so there are laws that are lower laws, and there are things that are higher. And so So here in the scriptures, there is the law of sin and death. But what he's telling us here, there is a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that supersedes the law of sin and death. Right? And so even though sin has been committed and death is the result of that, and even though that law is in effect and acting and it has jurisdiction, there is a higher law above that, and that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That no matter, even if the law of sin and death is working, if you come into the criteria of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then that law goes to work and it supersedes the one of sin and death. And so sin and death, that punishment can't come to you because now you're covered under a higher law. It's like the presidential pardon. You can have a person who's absolutely guilty. They're in prison. They have a life sentence or whatever because of something they've done. A law has put them there. They're guilty. They can't get free from it. But a higher thing is that the president of the United States can pardon that person.
Right.
And if the president of the United States, if that law is invoked, then the one beneath it that put the man in prison is nullified and he gets to go free because a higher law has done that. Amen? And so we realize that in the Old Testament, they had what they call cities of refuge. When a man would kill someone, and I suppose he maybe even accidental, then the law said that they could have the family could have an avenger. And this avenger could chase down this person who killed and could slay him. That's a law.
Yeah.
You did this. Law says they can come after you. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, all whatever, you know. And so that person, you know, knows that somebody's coming after him. But God had cities of refuge. And when that person knew that the avenger was coming after him, he could flee to one of those cities of refuge and stay inside that city of refuge. And that law, because it said, if you get inside that city of refuge, then this other law that says he can come after you, he can't touch you because you're inside a city of refuge.
Right.
We realize what that is, that Christ Jesus is our refuge, right? That sin and death coming after us, but if we can get to him, get to that city of refuge, then sin and death cannot come to you, right? Of course, we know in the Old Testament they had to go there and they had to stay there in that city until the death of the current high priest. Speaking of Jesus dying on the cross because he was our high priest, right?
Right.
And once he was, then they could come out and he was free,
yeah.
Right? All these things speak of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there are laws of God, but God has higher laws that if we can provoke them, they take away all the negative, all the lower ones, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to come to this place where we reach an experience in God where there is no longer condemnation, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in Christ Jesus, and because we're not walking after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit.
Right.
And so the scripture we read there just a little while ago, when Jesus died and he rose again, then death has no more dominion over him. He can't die again, right?
Okay.
Death cannot get to him because he's died once already. So death hath no more dominion over him. And then when he comes and lives in you, then death can't have dominion over you.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So when he comes in you, then you can't die for your sins. Right? God will not, that law that would slay you for your sins is no longer in effect because now you've got a life in you that is sin, that death has no more dominion over.
Right.
And so since sin causes death, and now death has no more dominion over him and will have no more dominion over you, then the thing that caused death has no more dominion over. That's why we read, sin has no more dominion over us as Christians, and neither does death. Because of Christ Jesus. So, God took care of all those things. And not only that, not only did he make it to where we could be free from those things, but the scripture said he was raised for our justification. A just simple explanation I've given in the past. That if there was a grave laying there with a dead body in it, Satan could say, yeah, he may have died for you, but you did it. And there's the proof that you did it, because that dead body's laying there as proof that he died for your sins. But when he raised out of the grave, and there's an empty tomb there, now when Satan tries to say you did it, say, well, where's the proof of it? There's no dead body, right? There's no proof. So justification, as Brother Branham come along and told us, wasn't what Luther said. But Brother Branham brought the loose ends of that. The truth of it is that God did this in such a way that there is no record, that he doesn't remember it, and there's no record whatsoever. And it's just as though you never did it in the first place. Yeah. Right? You could say, well, you know, or Satan could tell you, well, you did it. Well, show me the proof. Where's the record? Right? Okay. Where's the record of it? And as I said the other day, remember, there in God's economy, there has to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God will not take Satan's condemning you and saying you should die for your sins or go to hell. Because that's just one voice. God will not do that, because he requires at least two witnesses. And so, like Brother Branham said, God voted for you. Satan voted against you. Now it depends on which way you cast your vote.
Yeah.
See? God is a just God. He's fair. And he's relying not on the fact that he did this for you, but what matters is that you cast your vote the same way he did.
Amen.
Because if you don't cast your vote the same way he did, you're casting it the same way Satan did.
Right?
So you must agree with the Word of God. You must confess the Word of God. You must speak and confess these things. By his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. Right? He was bruised for my iniquities.
Right.
Put your name in there.
Right?
And confess those things. That Jesus Christ is your Savior.
Yeah.
Right? And so he was raised for our justification. There's no proof there. Right? And this truly, truly now, only now comes into full view now with an end time message of the bride. God speaking to his bride and saying, you didn't do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Amen? But it doesn't do you any good if you don't believe it and go with it. Right? The scripture said there that the righteousness of the law, right? There is a righteousness of the law, but you can't fulfill it by keeping the law.
Yeah.
But the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's only one way to truly fulfill righteousness before God, and that is to be in Christ Jesus and to not walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. Because the scripture said there, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we live after the Spirit, we shall have life and peace. Amen?
Amen?
You can be alive and still be dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can be alive, walking around, kicking or whatever, and be dead.
Right?
And you won't have peace.
Yeah.
You can be alive, and if you're walking according to the flesh, you have turmoil, you don't have peace.
Yeah.
You might have little spots here when you're younger, but I'm telling you, as you get older, the evil days come, right? In the flesh. Things don't work like they used to in your flesh. And so if we walk after the Spirit, then the scripture says we will have life and peace. Now, what I'm trying to say to you there is that you'll have life, you'll be kicking, whatever, but you'll live in such a way that the peace of God will be in your life. Because but not if you're walking after the flesh.
Right.
You can only have this if you're walking after the Spirit, putting that first in your life. So, if Christ is in you, right? You have to be in Christ Jesus and also walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So if Christ is in you, now you have choice, but let me say it this way. You have power in your choice. Because see, even before you're born again, you choose. You choose right and wrong. You choose different things like that. But because you're not born again, you don't have power in your choice. Right? You can make choices. And what I'm saying, in other words, when you're in Christ Jesus, now you have a power that can rise up and anoint and cause you to choose right and choose the things, choose the way of life, choose righteousness, rather than just choosing whatever seemed right in a fallen condition. Yeah. So now you have the power of choice. Now you become aware of the white dog and the black dog. You know, the scenario there. Now you understand that there's two things in you warring all the time.
Right?
I didn't know that. I didn't think about that back when I was run out in the world. But when you come into the presence of God, now you become aware of the white dog and the black dog. And as a Christian, we have power in our choices now. We can make not just choices, but powerful choices. Amen? So, you choose how you respond. When something happens to you, you choose how you respond to it. If somebody comes up and slaps you, you make a choice whether or not you're going to respond with kindness or if you're going to respond back with, you know, and there is a natural nature in your flesh that would respond according to the flesh. But the scripture said they did all those things to Jesus. We read it Wednesday night. Yet opened he not his mouth.
Right.
Right. So he wasn't living after what we would normally do. When somebody hits us, we turn around and hit them back or something like that. Jesus, he was way beyond that, right? Living according to the Spirit, because he had to do that. Because if he had not went as a sheep before his shearers dumb, you know, and then he wouldn't have purchased our redemption. That was required in order to save us, and so he did that. And we have to pick up our cross daily. There is a cross for us daily. And if we are not bearing that cross, we're living to the flesh.
Amen.
If we bear that cross, then there are spiritual things that are happening for you and for your family and for others. There are benefits that are going out to others because of you bearing your cross daily. And so you have power in your choice. And you can either live according to the flesh or you can live according to the Spirit, either way. Right. You can feed the white dog or you can feed the black dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you walk with the Lord for very long at all, you know what happens in both cases. If you walk with the Lord very long, you know exactly what it means, what happens when you feed that white dog and you starve the black one. And you know what it means when it's the other way around.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we have choice. But see, God... you know, it's free moral agency, right? He's sovereign, but he's not forcing us. We have to choose. Even the scriptures talk about Jesus. He had to choose right. He had to make a choice. He had to say, Father, not my will, but thy will. He had to make the power of choice that Jesus made saved us. Because he could have chosen the other thing. He could have had a wife. He could have ran from the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have done whatever. But he didn't. He made choice. And it purchased our redemption doing that. And so God gives us free moral agency. He gives us choice. He's not going to force us. We will not be there unless we choose to accept what he's done to be there. Right? We have to choose to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's like we talk about all the time about the chicken being birthed. And I mention it all the time, but I'm going to read it. This is in the sermon called Birth Pains. Brother Ram said, like a chicken when it's being born, you know. You ever notice one of those little fellows right on the top of his little beak or any other bird that comes from an egg? He's talking about it's maturing the eggshell and the inner part of the egg has to rot away. And he says it has to take this little beak and scrape it back and forth until it breaks the shell out. So his chicken's having to work hard. And Brother Branham said, we call it pimping its way out down in Kentucky where I'm from. Pimping its way out. And Brother Branham said, they've never found a better way. He said, why? Because it's God's provided way.
Right.
He said, if you try to help him, you'll kill him. Pick the shell off of him, he'll die. Why? Why will he die? You think, well, I'll just help him. Right? But the reason why is because there is a provided way, and that provided way requires that chicken to have to work and struggle and fight to live. Right? And so he said, see, he's got to labor, strain, break forth. That's what the chicken has to do. Or he's going to die. Right? You know, people, we all feel like failures sometimes, right? But like I heard brother from South Africa, and we've mentioned it, I guess, maybe, but maybe it's been a while. But you are an overcomer. You won the race in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
I watched a thing here a while back about all the different things that take place. And it's a miracle that there was ever a conception. That's right.
Yeah.
By the time you got here, you've overcome more already than you probably will have to overcome in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You're already overcomers, right? So Brother Ram says this chicken, he's got to labor, strain, break forth. And he said, that's the way a Christian has to do. It ain't somebody just shaking your hand, taking you in. He said, you've got to lay there till you die, rot, until you're born again into the kingdom of God. It's God's provided way. You don't go in by a book or a shake of a hand or a jump or a pump up or a pull down, right? You just simply have to get away from the old shell. And notice, they've never found a better way. That's the quote where we always mention that. See, as I've said, you know, we'd love to be able to say it's here it is and everything's fine. But you've got to fight. You've got to struggle. Brother Ram says anything that's living is a struggle. If you go out in the woods, I think of deer because of deer hunting. You go out in the woods, those deer, do you realize what all they have to put up with out there? Any of those animals. Oh, they're so little cute little fellas. But he's got a bounty on his back. Every one of them do.
Right.
Because of where they're at out there.
Right.
If you find them out there and they're alive, they are overcomers. Mm-hmm. Because they have fought to live. Right? And not just fought that they could live, but fought that they could pass it on to their offspring that they could live.
Yeah.
And that's the way of life. If you don't struggle, if you don't fight, if you don't do everything you can to win. Mm-hmm. See? Then you see what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to just give up. But it's a requirement in God's program that these things come. You know, they talk about when we constantly have gravity pulling on our bodies, and every time we're moving, we're working against that, right? Keeps our muscle tone. You take the whole thing's ridiculous that man would think he could go out there in space and live somewhere or whatever, but you take these astronauts that go up there, and when they get up there, they don't have that. They don't have that gravity pulling on their muscles. And you know what happens to their muscle tone? Now when they come back down, they have to carry them out of those capsules because they'd have to build back their muscle tones up if they've been there long enough, right? Because they've not been fighting, struggling constantly. And you and I fight and struggle all the time to live. And it's the same way in the economy of God. God cannot let us have a flowery bed of ease. We have to fight left and right, day and night. And the moment we sit down and just lay down, then we're losing. You have to fight to struggle to live. And when sicknesses come and problems with bills or whatever it is, your jobs, whatever it is, you got to fight. Keep fighting, struggling to live. Because while that's going on, you're getting stronger. Right? You're keeping your muscle tone up, spiritually, so to speak, as we're talking. And that's what we've got to do. Right? And God cannot take those things from you and just say, I'll just let you come right on through without no problem. God can't look the other way. When you have power of choice, and when you make choices to not live for the kingdom of heaven, you make choices to let down the bar, God cannot look the other way. He will not look the other way. You reap what you sow. Because what kind of parent would never correct your child?
Yeah.
Right? God has to correct us. He has to allow things come our way to build us up and make us stronger, to make us overcomers. You can never get to 12th grade and graduate having never had to take tests, having never learned anything.
Right.
And they can't pass you if you don't have the grade.
Amen.
And it's the same way with the kingdom of heaven. We are overcomers. Remember, to him that overcometh. Because we have to be overcomers.
Right.
Brother, sister, it's tough sometimes, right?
Amen.
It's tough. And so we have to be overcomers. Nobody's getting in without a new birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you try to run this gospel race, you try to come to church and be part of this, and you're really not born again, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Until you finally give it all to God, you're going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretend your whole life that everything's fine. But like Brother Bram said, the little boy walk in the graveyard, he whistling, acting like he's not afraid. And that's the reason why he's whistling, because he is afraid.
Yeah.
Right? You're pretending. Don't pretend. You know in your own heart. Don't pretend, because it's not going to go away. And God's not going to look the other way and just give you a pass. You have to meet up and face up with whatever it is that's before you that you've got to overcome. Amen. If you look at Moses was ordained of God, a child, a proper child. His parents kept him, you know, all the things that happened there, and God protected him and raised him up. And the scripture said Moses was, he talked to God face to face, or whatever, lip to ear, or whatever, however it says it, right? He had a relationship with God that none of the rest of them had. Nobody, even Miriam, his sister, had got in trouble, right? Because here's a man that God come down and talk to. And this man, he would talk to God, his face would shine with glory. The people was afraid of Moses because his face would glow because he'd been talking to God.
Yeah.
That's all. There's all scriptures talking about what that means. But the scripture said Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Right? And God gave him the law and all the Old Testament. That whole thing was built off of what God did through the life of Moses. And you think, man, he's got first spot with God. And he did have first spot with God during that time. Right? But when God told him, you go out here, you've already smote the rock once and water come out. Now you go over there and speak to it. And when he broke the law of God, broke what God had said, and instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it again. Did God just look the other way and say, well, this is my number one man. This is my guy that I wrote the whole entire Old Testament, which is going to be a type of everything to come. I'll just give him a pass. Is that what God did? No. God said, Moses, you can't go into the promised land because of what you did, even though you're number one man. You understand what I'm saying? Look at David. The scripture said when Saul was acting the way he did, wouldn't obey God. And God said, all right, I'll find me a man that's after my own heart. And sent the prophet Samuel, and Samuel goes out, and he goes to Jesse, and all of Jesse's sons come by, and they said, is there another one? Yeah, there's one more. He's out here in the field taking care of the sheep. Well, go get him. And when David starts coming up, the prophet runs and anoints him with oil. That this is God's chosen. This is the man after God's own heart. This is the guy. And look at David's life. He goes out and he when all the armies of Israel were scared, soldiers scared. Here's this little bitty shepherd boy comes out there and he defeats that Philistine giant, right?
Yeah.
Slays the lion, slays the bear, you know, slays the Philistine giant, wins all those battles for the Lord, right? A man after God's own heart. But when David took another man's wife and had him killed, did God look the other way? Did God say, well, you know, he is my king down there? God won't look the other way. David paid dearly for what he had done. See? And I'm saying all this to tell you, if you choose, because you have power of choice, and if you choose to go the way of the flesh, God won't look the other way. Right. He will spank you. Yeah. Right? You will reap what you sow. If you lean on the arm of the flesh, that's going to bite you.
Right?
I realize we live in this world and we have to deal with things, you know, that and you know, we go to doctors and we try to take medicine and all that, and we're just, but brother, sister, above and beyond all that, we should be looking at the Calvary, doing everything we can to walk in the Spirit and have all the blessings of God working in our lives as we live 100% for Him. Yeah. That should be what we're looking to. And if we ever relax from that fervency of trying to live for God, and we ever just draw back and try to begin to lean on something else, we're wrong. We're doing wrong. Yeah, we might have to do all this stuff. But my point is, that's number one, living for God. Looking to Him. That should be number one. And once we start leaning on arm of the flesh, then there's laws involved there, and there's reaping and sowing. And that's what's going to happen. If we look to man to satisfy our, if we have stress in our lives and we have whatever, if that's our ultimate, oh, I'll just go there. And, you know, the scripture said, is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a healer in Israel? Then why are my people still sick and not healed, right? And so the whole concept there is that God provides. And we've got to keep looking to Him. And so, yeah, we might go to a doctor and those things like that and do what we... That's fine. But in the background, we're trusting Him. We're believing Him. We know that His law supersedes all of these other things. Amen? Amen? And that's what we do. Amen. So God's not going to look the other way. But brother, sister, as soon as you get the new birth, as soon as you reach that place, now you come to that place where now you have power and choice. God lets you in. You're in the circle now because once you get the new birth, He can't undo that. You're in. You're sealed. That's why it's called a seal. You're sealed to the day of your redemption. And God cannot reverse that. But now, when you're in that mode, you have power of choice, and it matters what you choose, right? You're not going to be lost, but you know, as the scripture said, Laodicea, I would that you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. You know, that seems strange that God would say, I'd rather you be cold. I always illustrate it this way, on fire for God or not on fire for God. You're lukewarm. He says, I hate that. He'd spew it out of his mouth. He would rather you be flat out not even serving Him at all or be on fire and serving 100% than to be in the middle, right? To be in the middle. And you kind of think about that. And so, but now once you're born again, you have that new birth, Christ in you, now you have choice and you have to choose. Right? You have to choose between hot or cold or lukewarm or whatever. And you could choose a life that's kind of mixed up, and if you do, you're in Laodicea. This is the thing that we've got to fight. We live in an hour where we're just loaded down with easy living. And if you think about it, we go through trials and troubles and sicknesses and all that, and we think, oh, it's terrible. We ain't even got close to what people through the dark ages went through.
Yeah.
Right? And they served God all the way. Right? Because Brother Ben said, we're so soft. You know, Christians are rugged, right? Christians get up out of bed and come to church anyway, even though they have all kinds of obstacles. We do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, I realize some are sick, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, we fight. We keep pushing. We keep pressing, right? Because Christians are rugged. And we're living in this hour of soft everything. And we've got to realize we have to buckle down and fight to keep this gospel, to live it. Because Satan will take every bit of it away from you if you don't.
Amen.
So you have power of choice. And so you're either not, you either don't have a new birth, or once you're in with a new birth, now you have to choose. You have a choice. And brother, sister, we have to choose to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because if we do not walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We have to walk in the Spirit. Press on to walk in the Spirit. You know, sometimes God will let things happen to you. And I was just, I don't know, last night or this morning, whatever, thinking about it. You know, would we want God, if we're not rapture ready, would we want him just to take a hands-off approach and rapture morning comes and we find out then that we weren't ready? Would you rather it be that, or would you rather God get involved and spank you and make things happen in your life that'll make you begin to cry out and dig down and search your heart? Right? And so, and brother, sister, as we get closer to that, have you looked out in the world and seen everything that's going on? This thing's a power keg, worse than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
And so if as we're approaching that time, then God's got to get involved more in our lives. If we're not ready, get into our life more and more and more to get us to look up and search our hearts and find out if there's something in us that doesn't match what it should be, right?
Right.
And so, as I mentioned the other night, you know, that we have to forgive. We want God to forgive us, but we have to forgive others. And all of us have had things done to us.
Yeah.
And if we expect for God to forgive us, we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I wonder if we could just really search our hearts, if perhaps maybe some of us are dealing with things that we ain't quite just forgiven yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to. We have to get, that has to be there under the blood and no longer there in order for us to have a clear conscience before God. How many times, Brother Branham, when people would come before him and they wouldn't have a clue what was wrong, but there was something laying in their subconscious from way back when, and the Holy Spirit would bring that out. And that's the way it is. We come before God and those things will come out. And the best thing for us to do is to search our heart and seek out after God and find those things out now and get them taken care of now. And so sometimes God will let things come to you and sometimes flat of your back, as you've heard before. Get you flat of your back so you can look up. And so I want to just say this, that as trials come your way and things that you don't quite understand, and you know God is God, when those things come, those are a good time for you to search your heart and you begin to say, God, what do you want me to see here in me as I go through this? Because when you get sick and you're laying there and you don't know what's going to happen the next day, you'll start thinking about those things. Where am I at?
Right.
The whole thing is for the word, the preaching of the word, to get you to do that now.
Amen.
Right? And so, search your heart. If she'll open up James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, I want to show you something here. Brother Perryman pointed this out many, many years ago. So, you know, in James, he's telling you, says, well, if there's any sick among you, right? Anybody sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed his sins, they shall be forgiven him. Right? If any man's sick, let him call the elders. If any man's sick, let him call the elders. But look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him call for the elders? No, that's not what it says. Let him pray. You follow me?
Right?
There are things and times in our lives when things come that we've got to do the praying.
Right.
We've got to do the searching of our hearts before God. Right? And nobody can do that for you. And you can't bypass that. And we, if we stand back, just like people would say, Thank God for every whipping I ever got, and I should have gotten more. If we can stand back and say, that thy rod and thy staff, they come for me. God, bring it on. Bring on whatever you need to do to get me to look up and let me begin to pray until I get this thing straightened out. Like the scripture said, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Right? You can't bypass that. Right? Cannot bypass that. So if any man's afflicted, let him pray. Right? And I'm not prepared to stand there and tell you the difference between afflictions and all that stuff. Just there telling you what the word says. That there's times, and when times get tough and rough and trials are on every hand, look up.
Amen.
Right? Look up. It only takes a moment in God's presence to melt away a lifetime of troubles.
Amen.
That's right. Only just a moment in God's presence to melt away a lifetime of troubles. And as you think about those things, as you come to that, just remember, he was bruised for your iniquities.
Amen.
He was bruised for your iniquities, a chastisement of, he was chastised for your peace. Right?
Amen.
By his stripes you're healed. He was wounded for your transgressions. Remember those things. You have total and complete access to God, even when you've been disobedient.
Yeah.
You can talk to God. That's why Brother Ramos said, them women singing that song, I just like to talk it over with. Can you imagine that? A prophet who the Lord's pillar of fire was with every day, and he said, I just want to talk it over with. I just want to talk to the Lord.
Right.
But like I said last weekend, you know, no matter where you are, I just went in upstairs and I just said, Lord, I'm glad you're here. No matter where you go, God is there because your faith brings him there, right? And you have access to him. And even if you've not been obedient, you're his child. He's correcting you. He's letting things come and test you and try you. Then you have access. You can't come arrogant and say, why are you doing this? Like Brother Graham said, God, you owe me. And he found out real quick, God don't owe me nothing.
Yeah.
Right, and God doesn't owe you. You know what? But as we said a while ago, we are debtors. Not to live after the flesh, but to live after the Spirit.
Amen.
We are, as Brother Graham said, that the wife, you know, has a responsibility to the husband. So we, as the bride of Christ, we have a responsibility to Christ, to prayer, to the word, and the things that go with that. To live for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So let me encourage you. Search your heart. Amen.
Amen.
And remember, he was wounded for your transgressions.
Amen.
Bruised for your iniquity. Chastisement of, he was chastised for your peace. And by his stripes you were healed. He paid the price. You don't have to bear those things if you'll just give it to him.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we want to thank you for this little time with this group. And Lord, their attentiveness to the word this morning. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just bless them as they go. Let them have a joyful day today. And let these things sink down into their hearts, into their lives, Lord, that they can gain strength from it. Lord, that these words are truth, Lord. They're your words. And God, if we have the right attitude toward any of these promises, it'll bring to pass the promises in our lives. Pray, God, that you just seal these things away in the hearts of your people. And those that are the not here present, Lord, that we hearing or have heard, we pray, God, that you do the same for them. Lord, just lift them up. May they be encouraged to begin to confess and say, by your stripes we are healed. And may they begin to fight. For these things, God, because you promised. And Lord, we believe that your bride will not be a defeated people in the last days here on this earth, that they'll be a victorious people to rule and reign with you. But that comes after we have suffered with you. So, with God, we just pray that you just enlighten us in these things and just anoint us, Lord Jesus, that we can go forth in strength. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. morning and she was singing, not singing, she did sing, but she was playing a song for us when Mercy walked in. And I said, that'd be a good song for her to sing. Of course, she didn't necessarily agree with us on that, but, but when Mercy walked in, brother, sister, that's it. We're all in the same boat. Ain't one of us is better than the other. We're all the same. But in mercy, under the blood, you know, remember whenever in the parables there, you know, when they called for the wedding supper, whatever, and they found a man that didn't have a wedding garment on. Brother Branham explained that. But when they invite people, they would always provide the garment for all those that were invited. They'd provide the garment for them. And whether they were rich men or poor men, whoever they were, tall, short, whatever, everyone got the same garment so that in that marriage festival, they all looked the same. There was no big eyes, little U's, no rich, no poor. They all were the same, right? And brother and sister, we're all the same.
Amen.
Under the blood. Amen. 629. Mercy.